You know our slogan around here is better practice, better life. But we're taking this belief to the next level. And we've recently announced the creation of a new association. It's called the Best Practices Association. Our association celebrates the mindset that is better practice, better life. This mindset celebrates time, healthy living, personal growth, clinical excellence, and impacting the lives of your patients and your team through intentional leadership. In fact, we are the work-life balance experts in dentistry. The BPA will coach independent dental practices like yours to thrive by sharing best practices and operational habits, behaviors, systems, tools, and insight that lead to profitability and sustained growth, and you can still have a life. So if you're a dentist that wants to surround yourself with great thinkers, let us help you create your own version of better practice, better life. Go to actdental.com/BPA or hit the link in the show notes. Welcome back to the Best Practices Show. I'm so excited that you're here. We have one goal: make you better, make your practice better, make your life better. And I've got a good friend of ours on here. I love hanging around with this guy because I learned so much, and he's always been there, you know, in every instance. And his name is Dr. Christian Coachman. And if you haven't seen him, I'm going to encourage you. You got to see this guy. Number one, he's always challenging how you think about dentistry and see dentistry and how you get better. And you guys are going to love today. We're going to be talking about his smile business formula and the bottleneck it creates for practices. But I'll just say this about you, Christian. You've always been there for me. I called you. You were the first person I called in the pandemic. I was freaking out, losing my mind. And I was texting you and you're like, I'm in, what are we doing? I go, I don't know. And we kicked off a COVID conference and you're like, how does this work? I'm like, I don't know. So, and you were there. And this is what you said during the conference. You go, we're gonna be okay. And I was like, I hope you're right. You know, so thanks for being on. And even in the early stages of the podcasting thing, I remember we did one show and you're like, I got to do it from like a different room of my house. And you were sitting on the floor, I think, or something like that. And we had a great time. So I'm so pumped to have you here. So thanks for being on.
Oh man, it's a pleasure to be back. Man, we went through so much. All of us, we made it. Huh? We survived. We are all doing well, thank God. And our businesses survived, your business, my business. So we are lucky. I think we are privileged. We are blessed. And I think that a key factor that I see, maybe something that I see in me, that I see in you, is this always positive smile on the face. So you have this smile going on. And even when you called me, you know, 2 years ago, beginning of pandemic, your business depended, completely dependent on in-person events. My business completely dependent on in-person events. So we were probably on the same similar shit together. Can I say shit here?
Oh, you sure can. Together. You can say whatever you want.
But we were looking at each other knowing that we had a huge challenge ahead of us, but we were smiling. And I think that helped us to get through this. So
absolutely,
that's the reason why I always come back. You know, I love people that are optimistic and smiling.
Absolutely.
In tough moments. It's easy to smile when everything is fine. The beauty is to smile when things are not fine.
Amen, brother. Amen, brother. So I want people to know who you are. Like, we have a lot of dental students listening and even some pre-dental students listening. Like, you've been on here many times, but if somebody doesn't know who Dr. Christian Coachman is, tell us who you are and what you do and a little bit about DSD before we get into this topic.
Okay, so I'm Dr. Christian Coachman, originally from São Paulo, Brazil. I'm a dentist, but also a dental technician. Actually, my dental technician role was the main factor that opened the doors of the world to me. I made a big decision when I finished dental school to, even though I was a doctor, to stay as a technician working for other doctors. That really made me different than all the other dentists that used to be technicians, and allowed me to work with some of the best dentists in the world. 2004, I left Brazil and I started my international journey in the US and Europe, and really worked with some of the best restorative dentists in the world, and had the opportunity to learn so much, but also had the opportunity to fulfill some of my passions, one of them lecturing, teaching, speaking, communicating. So I started my lecturing career in US, then Europe, in parallel to my lab work. So I developed some different concepts, wrote some articles. And then in 2008-09, I developed the concept called digital smile design. That initially was just a bunch of ideas on how to help dentists improve the process of rehabilitating smiles using the whatever technology we had at that time. My thing was that even though I was known as a very good technician and I was working with some of the best prosthodontists, we still had limitations, problems, mistakes, flaws, and processes to be improved. And I started to challenge the status quo and challenge myself, challenge the way we were doing things. And that's how DSD was born, trying to rethink the process, the steps, the communication between dentists and technicians and patients. The DSD concept was born on that time, and I was lucky enough to have social media starting almost simultaneously, and also lucky that dentists all over the world took over social media and transformed social media into a very useful forum. And then I was able to use that social media and be one of the first dentists to use social media to really educate other doctors. And I was sharing absolutely everything for free on social media, every single lecture, every single tutorial, every single slide. All my friends were saying I was crazy to share in social media because I was getting nothing out of it, but it made the ideas go viral and it took me to all over the world. I know very few dentists that traveled the last decade as much as I did, you know, over, 80 countries. And I spoke to almost 100,000 colleagues. And of course, the DSD concept grew. And as the DSD concept grew as a strategy, not only clinical and technical, but also a business, marketing, communication, team empowerment strategy, I realized that the course was too overwhelming in terms of information to doctors. And even though doctors were enjoying the courses, they needed more help. And that's when I founded the DSD company. That was not only courses, but a bunch of services. So we became a planning center, first and still the only digital 3D interdisciplinary planning center in the world, digital lab, a marketing agency, a consulting support, and a team training program. So all these services started to follow the DSD courses. And doctors from all over the world started to not only do the courses, but use our services. And we create this network of DSD clinics that are certified and are allowed to use all these services. And this is exactly the business that I'm running right now here from Madrid, Spain, my new home.
Yeah, we're going to do a course out there sometime. I can't wait. But if you guys haven't seen DSD or anything Christian does, you got to check it out. Now, Christian, you and I have talked about this. Like, one of my favorite things about you is your why. Like, this isn't about teaching elite dentists to do elite dentistry. You've got a bigger global mission, a passion around dentistry. Yeah. Can you share that? Because I love how you talk about that.
This is what I call meaningful dentistry. That's what our why, meaningful dentistry. So we teach in the course everything about digital dentistry and everything about emotional dentistry. These are the two main concepts of DSD. So how can you improve the care that you provide to your patients through digital technologies? That's part. And how do you change the experience and the perceived value creation through emotional dentistry? But we realized that by utilizing all these super cool new strategies to diagnose and plan better and design better and treat better, and then emotional dentistry, how to use these super cool strategies of hospitality and communication and marketing and branding and technologies as well, and team training to really change the way people see the experience of going to the dentist. When you start putting these two things to work for you, one beautiful collateral effect happens. Dentistry becomes more meaningful to you, to your team, and to your patients. And that's what we call meaningful dentistry. Meaningful work, meaningful relationships, meaningful values. And as we know, dentistry is pretty tough. And after a few decades, you know, most doctors are really tired. And there's a reason, of course, because it's tough to be a dentist. It's tough to keep delivering good quality care. It is a very stressful profession. So DSD became like an invitation for people to rethink dentistry, to reignite their passion, to find a bigger signification for their purpose, for their pride in what they do, and to expand their performance. Is what I call the three P's: the passion, the pride, and the performance, and how the ideas that we are teaching can empower or reinvigorate your three P's. And I believe that from time to time, we need to look back into our three P's. How is your passion going? How is your pride going? How is your performance going? And it's beautiful to see that through the concepts that we teach, you know, doctors and their team are reigniting their three P's.
Yeah, I love that. And we're going to do another show on the three P's alone, but that's a great place to check in to see how you're doing and where your energy is at. Now, you mentioned before we hit the go button, there's a bottleneck in a lot of, mm-hmm. Can you talk about mm-hmm. What's the bottleneck the way you see it?
So we've been talking about what we call the small business formula. The small business formula is the combination of all the strategies that we've been developing to become a more successful dental office owner. For the doctors that want to enter the small business, right, that want to move from quadrant dentistry into a more meaningful dentistry, that wants to move from fixing problems into changing lives, that want to move in from just doing aligners into transforming lives by transforming smiles, or just doing implants, or just doing pieces of the puzzle. I think that the future belongs to comprehensive clinics. It's not anymore dental offices, comprehensive clinics. It's beautiful, it's powerful, it's life-changing, and it is a beautiful story that patients love to hear. You know, when a patient understands what means going to a real comprehensive clinic, there's no way back. They don't want to go back to a normal dental office. So the future of high-end dentistry belongs to the ones embracing this new concept of comprehensive care, right, that goes beyond just the teeth and really takes care of the human being as a whole. So when we talk about this comprehensive dental clinic, this is what we call the small business formula from the clinical side, but also from the patient perspective and from the leadership perspective. So always these three perspectives, you know, the clinical perspective, the patient perspective, and the team and leadership perspective. As we explore this and we've been teaching these ideas, the pandemic allowed me to look back and see the impact of what I was teaching in people's life. You know, how are the doctors that did my courses for the last 5 years are doing? How are they doing? Are they doing better? Are they using the ideas? Are they struggling to understand and implement? You know, what are the bottlenecks that are holding them back? You know, or what are the bottlenecks that are not allowing my ideas to be more impactful and meaningful for them? So it was a self-analysis that I was doing about myself, my ideas, my work, my teaching, and the systems that I was putting out there. You know, and I was able to come down to one major bottleneck that is holding dental office owners back in terms of implementing any cool new idea. You know, every time we learn something cool, you know, we are all excited. It's what I call the post-Congress syndrome. Mm-hmm. We come back from super cool courses and we are back in our offices, still full of excitement, you know, and then we try to bring our team together to say, this is the new way that I want to do now. And then we face all these challenges, and usually all these ideas, they fade. You know, I would say 90% of all the cool ideas we learn, they fade, and we end up not implementing them. If it's a something simple or something very technical, a new surgical trick that we learn in the course, you know, how can you make this become your new reality, your new normal? If we hear about a colleague that is succeeding because he's maintaining the office in a different way, and we go back and we want to do this as well, it usually fades into our existing routine, into lack of motivation, and so on. So I was able to realize or to study what are these major bottlenecks that we face, right? And I was able to come down to actually five things that we didn't learn in dental school that are holding us back to implement the strategies that can make a huge difference in our office. And this is what I call the modern comprehensive clinic bottleneck, right? The combination of these five factors.
Yeah. I can't wait. So five things as you're doing the self-analysis with people that weren't able to implement it. Take us through that. Mm-hmm.
First huge thing, probably the major one, you know, we didn't learn in school how to create systems. Building systems is the number one bottleneck. So we learned that the scanner does a great job. So we go there and we buy the scanner, and then the scanner is on the corner underutilized. Why? Because we didn't build a system to fit the scanner in to make the scanner the most powerful tool possible. So we don't get the return on the investment, frustration, et cetera. And many times when we have challenges in front of us, we end up going to the old way of doing things, and we underutilize, or we let the new idea fade. So we need to learn how to build systems. You know, we need to learn from people they live from building systems. You know, every successful company has efficient systems and processes in place. How do you build a system? And a dental office in the future will have very little room to not operate on smart systems, right? Competition, corporate dentistry, super smart people taking over the dental industry and the dental clinics all over the world, you know. These people, they know how to build systems, you know. They don't know how to treat patients. They don't know how to do dentistry, but they know how to build systems. So dental office owners, we need to learn how to build systems before we buy fancy equipment.
Yeah. Now go into that, because I love this. So if I'm a young dentist, tell me why I need a system, you know, because I know how to do this. You know, take me through the evolution of how important
everything that we do well. Unconsciously, we created a system naturally, but it can take years, you know, because we, through the struggles and mistakes, we make decisions. And if we decide that we want to do this and we do it over and over and over again, without even thinking, it becomes a smart system, because that's the only way for us to do it well and repeat over and over and make money out of it. So many things in our offices are already a decent system just because we do it so much and over again. Now, the trick is to find a shortcut to build a system faster, or to think about it and speed up the process of building a system. So if you ask yourself, you know, when you finish a patient, you need to clean the room for the next patient. Do you have a system to clean the room, or you just clean the room? Because if you think about it, I'm pretty sure you can build a system that is probably slightly better than whatever you're doing right now. Mm-hmm. It can be slightly more efficient. You can maybe save a little bit more time. You can save a little bit more materials on it. You can add a little bit more quality by building a system around it, right? And then The other piece of the challenge is to make this new system a routine. So discipline to repeat, repeat and repeat, you know, not doing that thing every day in a different way. Like we usually do. You know, I'm doing this way and I'm asking why you're doing this way. Ah, I just did it this way. And tomorrow, I do that way. And this is not a system. So it's the combination between building a system and making the system a routine.
Yeah, I love it. So if you've ever worked with human beings, you know, you can't, it can't be anecdotal and it can't be emotional. No. We're both agreeing to something, right?
Yes, it needs to be documented. It needs to be agreed on. It needs to be brainstormed with the team. You know, everybody needs to say, this is what we need to do. Exactly like that. It needs to be revisited from time to time, to be repolished, refined, and improved. It needs to be, as I said, documented. So it's like whoever is cleaning the room between one patient and the other, if that person leaves and you hire another person, you just give them the manual. Boom, this is the system.
Yeah.
And with a little bit of reading, that person can clean the room in between patients exactly the same way.
Love it.
Over and over again. That is a system. That is a smart system. And then only after you build the system, you ask yourself, what kind of investments do I need? What do I need to buy? How am I going to fit these new ideas inside my system? And when you do investments after you have a system, you take much better return on your investment on whatever you're buying to fit the system, and not the opposite like we usually do. We buy stuff and then we try to figure out how to make something work with that, you know?
Yeah.
Because every equipment that we buy is just a piece of the system.
Yeah.
It's not the whole system.
But Christian, I'm so busy. I don't have time to write these systems. Like, you hear that all the time. So how would I even put these in place? You know, just give us a little hint.
So that is the key. You know, we learn from every smart entrepreneur, every smart business owner. You need to separate time. If you're too busy working, you don't have time to make money, right? They say. So you need to separate your work 2/3, you know, doing things and producing, and maybe 1/3 strategizing, rethinking, writing things down, you know, thinking about how your team is acting on all these fronts, you know, prioritizing and tackling what are the things that I need to create a smart system first, and then just put some time together and think about it. You know, if it's an hour a day a week, a few days a month, you know, you need to step back and look at the big picture. You know, you need to give some air to your brain to allow you. And that's when the best ideas come. You know, that's when you create. That was the only nice thing about the pandemic. You know, it made us slow down and made us look at the big picture, rethink some important things, prioritize and build some smart systems, hopefully.
I love it. I love it. You got to have good think time to be able to improve your processes. I always like the idea of landing the airplane and doing maintenance while it's on the ground. It flies better. So that's number one in the bottleneck of the five lessons. What was the second lesson that you saw from DST?
The second bottleneck that is holding dental clinic owners is the lack of vision, clear vision. Basically asking yourself, where do you want to be in 5 years? But not superficially, really deep diving into your vision and understanding exactly where you want to be. Detail by detail. It's like drawing your dream in details, writing down your dreams in details and building this ideal place that you want to be professionally. Regardless of where you are right now, regardless of how successful you are right now, we can always be somewhere in 5 years. It doesn't mean that we're going to be obsessed of being there, because we know that 99.9% of the times we're not going to get there exactly.
Right.
But the fact of building a vision helps us to clean the pollution of information around us, you know, to say no to things that look exciting but is not moving us towards the vision, you know, to control the overwhelming amount of information, opportunities and things that we can do. And the best way to really make the best decisions about what is more important, where do I put my time, what do I buy, who do I hire, should I move to another city, you know, should I buy another, whatever, it's always based on where exactly, let me refresh my mind here. Let me remember, where exactly do I want to be? What is my plan? Okay, now I remember. Right. So I'm sorry, this is actually not helping me to get there. It sounds very cool and attractive, but I'm going to stick with my plan. So we get very confused and influenced by so many things around us. So I realized that I need to constantly, and me personally, because I'm super impulsive and I love new ideas and I have a huge tendency to be all over. So I'm learning, you know, on the hard way to revisit my vision and every decision based on the shortcut to get there, you know?
I love it. Now, when you say vision, I love it. Do you encourage people to share it with everybody on your team? Is it in writing? Like, how do you, because I would imagine that's an important piece of it, right?
Yeah, no, 100%. So, you know, as I say, modern dentist doesn't exist. Modern teams. Modern dentistry doesn't exist without a team. Mm-hmm. Modern dentistry is a team sport. More and more than ever. So, of course, traditionally dentists learn how to do things almost alone, and we were not taught to be team builders, you know, and team leaders. And unfortunately, with the amount of competition and the amount of information and the amount of things that we need to control today, to have a high-end comprehensive clinic, not a dental little office in the corner doing quadrant dentistry, but a comprehensive modern clinic requires a team. So, you know, we need to become team leaders, team builders. And there's no way we can build a team without having a vision that inspires the team.
Yeah.
And we need to be very pragmatic, not philosophical here. There's no, the vision can be very beautiful, etc. But even the nicest people working for us, at the end of the day, you know, they're looking, sitting at home, you know, they had a hard day, they're looking at their family, their challenges and their problems, and they're asking themselves, what is in it for them? What is in it for them? So if your vision is not bringing some clear benefits for your team, there's no team.
Yeah.
Right? No, let's do this because it's cool. And so what? Let's do this because it's the best for the patient. And if it's the best for the patient, it's best for the office. It's the best for the office, it's best for the money. And if it's the best for the money, it's best for the pocket of the owner. What is in it for me? Right? Mm-hmm. So every time you buy a new equipment, every time you bring a new technique, what is in it for your team?
Yeah.
And sometimes we forget, we need to do it like this. I'm the boss. We need to do it like this. And what I learned is that at the end of the day, the doctor thinks they are the boss, but they're not. The boss is the team. They, at the end, even unconsciously dictate everything that happens in the office.
Yeah.
So the only way is to really have a vision that inspires, but have a vision that generates real benefits to everybody around you.
I love it. My hope is that if you asked any of your team members, they could describe it with great enthusiasm about where we're headed. So that is awesome. Love it. Love it. What's the third bottleneck that you found in talking?
The third bottleneck is prioritization. So since every good dentist is passionate about dentistry, we become impulsive on everything we see and we just want to do it. We want to do everything. And I know because I'm a passionate dentist my whole life. I was a passionate technician dentist. And that's beautiful. That's the beautiful thing about good dentists. They are so passionate about what they do, right?
Yeah.
The little downside about being so passionate about something is that you lose a little bit of the pragmatic prioritization process. You know, when you see doctors entering these super cool big exhibits with all the companies launching all their new equipments and materials and technologies, you know, it's like kids on Disney World, right? And they are looking around and we are like, I want this. I want to buy this. I want to do this. I want that. I want to buy this. I want to learn that. I want to do that. And it's just impossible.
Yeah.
So prioritization based on the vision to put the smart energy to build the smart systems and make smart investments and buy the smart things and hire the smart people that fits into your vision. So I think number three is prioritization means linking vision into metrics.
Into metrics. So give me, just take me a little bit further in that. So if you're going to, if I'm a dentist, I plan out my vision for a year, 5 years, and then break it down into smaller pieces. What we're going to do this quarter or this year. Is that what you're thinking?
Yeah. So you need to understand what we call the patient journey. You need to divide this into all the moments. So we have around, we have 7 moments that we cover, and each moment has different areas. And you need to evaluate first which areas that you're doing okay, which areas that you need improvement. And then you need to evaluate from the areas that you need improvement, which ones you think are the easiest ones to improve that will generate the biggest impact.
Yeah.
So easiest to improve, bigger impact, usually higher priority, you know, quick wins, and you get the benefits of these wins to feed the other changes that you need to do.
Yeah. Now you're a much smarter guy than I am, and I'm going to totally screw this up. But somebody told me that the Latin root of the word priority was singular. Like there is no such thing as priorities. And I was like, oh my gosh, that's my problem. It's like, I think everything is a priority. So how do I determine what's the most important priority? I mean, cause I'm built a lot like you, Christian. I love bright, shiny objects. I'm easily distracted. And I used to think it was a benefit to everyone around me. Then I realized I'm exhausting people by chasing all of these bright, shiny objects. How do you handle that?
I think that you can start by asking yourself, what is the shortcut for differentiation? What makes you different?
Right.
You know, from all the things that you can improve, what makes you different? What creates higher perceived value? If you put the energy on something that you know people will value, because that will generate immediate positive impact in your business, because you can do so many improvements that are very hard for the final consumer to actually understand it and value it. And if we start from those, usually we can lose the energy in the process and not feed the team to see these early victories in the process of transformation. So we usually focus on the ones that can generate bigger differentiation impact, you know, the wow effect, things that will set us away from the curve, the natural curve. You know, at one point, if you are a good dentist and you are, you know, among, you know, in your city, you have a bunch of good dentists, it's not anymore about who's the best, but who's the different one.
Right.
I love different people. Our brains, they love different. You know, imagine this. Somebody goes to a dentist and then goes home and they ask, how do you like your dentist? And that person says, my dentist is the best. Fantastic. Now, imagine the same person going back home and somebody asking, how do you like your dentist? And the person saying, my dentist is different. Which one do you think attracts more curiosity and call to action?
Well, my brain can't ignore the curiosity. I got to find, I'm stuck, I'm hooked. I got to know why you're different. Why is your dentist different?
And so when you say different, somebody is different in a positive way. Of course, you can say different in a negative way.
Right.
But people immediately can sense, can feel it. Is this a different and a positive? When you say, my dentist is different, with a smile and a passion through your eyes, people are like, I need to meet your dentist. Mm-hmm. Right. So what makes you different? And this is for me, you know, when we look at all the things that we can improve in our offices, I think that's a good hint of a nice priority to invest.
I love it. I love it. Because really, in this world, a lot of it looks the same. We're in a sea of sameness. And so you're exactly right. We do point. And especially if the differentiation is something that's unique to you, you're passionate about it. It goes back to your three P's. I mean, I think if you can create your differentiation, your passion to be uniquely linked, you're in good shape, right?
Yeah.
So what's number four in the bottleneck?
Number four. Oh, that's one that I've been learning in the hard way, as well as we have a company that is growing. Oh man, you never think about it. You know, when you are studying, when you're learning, when you are a dentist or a technician, or when you start a project, when you have a startup or whatever, you don't think about it. But once your ideas are proven to be okay and you start to grow human resources, holy cow, that's an art. Mm-hmm. Understanding how to hire, how to train, how to motivate, how to manage the daily frustrations of people, you know, respecting the fact that everybody has their own battles and own issues, you know, not losing it because of people, taking the best out of people, the best way, even making the people around you to be the best version of themselves, right? Yeah. And then sometimes even knowing when to fire or you know, when people don't fit into your vision. And all these skills are the foundation.
Yeah.
They are the foundation to have a system that can work for you. And this is the number one, and I heard you talk about it, the number one problem of dentists is that they depend every dollar from their hands. And the fact is that we are not trained to handle human resources.
Yeah.
You know, and I see that so many times, super smart dentists, you know, getting mad at the assistant, like, give me this, I'm going to do it myself. And you are stuck forever to do it yourself.
Yeah.
Right? So the art of human resources, that's amazing. That's yeah. Bottleneck number four.
So I have so many questions on that because I totally agree. Like, the people are your secret sauce. You know, that's the secret, is how well you can grow leaders. Any lessons you like, because I mean, I would raise my hand and say, like, that's been the hardest part of any business. Any lessons you would share, like something you've learned for sure. I've learned this the hard way, because your organization is growing. Like, you've learned a few things. Any secrets you'd share with us?
I'm learning so much. You know, we are investing a lot of human resources, and we were able to bring some very smart people into our human resource department. We spend a lot of effort and a lot of money in the human resource department, you know, because we learned how important it is. You know, when you start having more than 100 people together, and you know, and suddenly if one third of the people are not happy, you can go bankrupt like this. Boom.
Yeah.
Your business disappears, right? Mm-hmm. Because your customers can feel it when people are not happy, and everything gets out of control, you know? And for me, the biggest learning is that it doesn't matter how cool your vision is. It doesn't matter how smart you are. You need to take your vision. It's kind of linked to what we talked before. You need to take your vision and divide into tiny little pieces of vision to make sure that everybody has a vision in your project. Everybody has a future, has a plan, has fulfillment. Everybody has a challenge that they can feel proud of. They have a career plan, you know, building a career plan. Today you are here, tomorrow you can be here, and you need to revisit that, and it needs to be real. It cannot be just BS. You know, you need to make your project become the project of their lives.
Yeah.
Right. And of course, some people will leave once in a while, you know, and that's normal. But when you look at your team and you see that most of your team look at your dental clinic and they say, I want to work here forever. I can see myself here. I can achieve what I want in life by working here.
Yeah.
I can fulfill my desires, my wishes, my professional desires and my personal desires by working in this place. And this can only happen if you are constantly thinking about what people want and how can this dental office help people get what they want.
Yeah. Can I ask you too, because you're probably my most traveled friend. I mean, I haven't traveled out of the United States for business since prior to the pandemic. You've traveled a lot. And so here in the United States, we talk about, you know, the Great Resignation. It's been one of the most challenging environments dentists could ever imagine with hiring, growing, and developing people. Is it the same across the world? Is it different across the world? What do you see?
Yes. You're talking about the fact that doctors are having trouble finding people that want to work with them, right?
Yes, yes.
And it's a I'm hearing that a lot. Yeah, I'm hearing that a lot in the U.S. It's amazing for somebody like me and coming from Brazil, like a developing country, you know, where having a job is like, wow, I have a job, you know, and when a job is available, and that's the problem of about poor countries, you know, there's lack of opportunity. So everybody's like full power. This is my one opportunity and I'm going to do the best I can. You know, that's why you see so many people coming from Latin America into US, into Europe and killing it, you know, because they are grateful for the opportunity, but they have the passion, the energy, and many times the education and the know-how to really kick ass. Mm-hmm. And they did, you know, they were cleaning floors and they went to university and then suddenly they have the opportunity to work as an assistant and they are just like full power, right? So I see that trend, and in Europe is happening something similar as well, you know, with the pandemic. First, you know, every rich country was able, the governments were able to show people that they can take good care of people. And that's, I think, is great. That's not a problem. You know, I know that many people criticize that. And I can tell you, when you come from a poor country, you understand that that is fair. Whatever the people with more opportunities can pay to give opportunities for people with less ambition to have a decent life, it's worth doing it. You know, that's the recipe to have a better world,
right?
And not see the mess that we are seeing all over, you know? So don't criticize that. You know, I see many entrepreneurs, they are pissed, you know, oh, the government is spoiling and blah, blah, blah. No. You have more mm-hmm. than the people down below you. So don't complain about that. Now, yeah. I can tell you that the dentists or the business owners that were able to touch people deeply about their project, they had no problems. Mm-hmm. People are still working. Even when they didn't need to work, they were there working, sharing the vision, sharing the passion, working towards the project. So for us, coming from the top, you know, was very easy pre-pandemic because that was the status quo. Everybody needs to work, you need to work, etc. Now you suddenly realize that the government can help me. I can work a little bit here and here, a little bit there. And if I have an okay ambition, I can have a decent life because I'm lucky. I'm born on a rich country.
Yeah.
And this is great, right? But if I find a place that I can fulfill my dreams, I can give everything I have.
Yeah.
So if your dental office is just an average place to work, you may struggle to find people. And you're going to get stuck. You're going to still have good money, so you cannot complain. Dentists are still making good money. But if you want to grow, if you want to go beyond, if you want to keep the pace that you were growing before pandemic, you need to mean more for people.
Yeah. Now, I have to ask you this because you get to hear these questions all the time. You know, there's going to be a day where we're not going to need people and, you know, robots are going to do this. You hear this. I get to hear this. You hear this all the time. There will always be. Now, I'm not going to prompt you. I want to know your response because dentists do approach you. I think the people element, what you're talking about, is crazy important. As a young dentist, if you're listening, learning how to grow and develop leaders in people, it's hugely important. But what about the influx of technology? You've seen it, Christian. Technology's changed faster in 5 years than it has in 20, for sure. What are your thoughts?
We need people more than ever.
Yeah.
Because people are valuing, you know, if we know that if whatever you do can be substituted by a little machine, it will substitute you. So find things that you do that mean something for people that machines cannot do. You know, and there's so much. We're just learning now how many things we can do to people that only humans can do to people. Mm-hmm. And in dentistry, you know, even, you know, the next decades ahead of us, there's still so many technical handmade things that we need humans, so many decisions to be made, you know, diagnosis and treatment planning and smile design and try-ins and communication with the patient and translating their wishes and desires and understanding the link between what a machine is telling you, what the patient wants, your clinical experience, the scientific background. Oh man, there's so much that needs to be done by humans here that it's just dumb to be afraid of that.
Yeah. Now, you and I share a great mutual friend, Dr. Bill Robbins, and he says this: there has never been a greater time to be a dentist, and he's been doing it for 40 plus years. Do you agree?
I'm going to be a little bit, I'm going to take credits on this here.
Okay.
You can confirm, that with Bill, but in 2016, I invited Bill to a course of mine, and that was the introduction of my course.
Yeah.
And he told me that since then, he's been telling people the same.
Agree.
So that is how I open my courses. Mm-hmm. And I believe in it. This is the most exciting moment in dental history by far, you know, because of the changes, because of the opportunities, because it's like a blank canvas. So many things that are being reinvented, you know, dentistry is expanding. Dentistry is slowly moving towards gaining the credits that dentistry deserve in the medical field. You know, there's so many things that we are finding related to well-being and systemic health that we are all realizing, including the medical world, that dentists are the best ones to really identify it and start treating it and understand it, you know, plus all the technologies that we are incorporating in our workflow, smart technologies that are allowing us to do things with a little bit less stress, you know, systems that can allow us to make better decisions for our patients, you know, collective intelligence, connecting our experiences. So it's one exciting thing after the other. So, and this is very clear, you know, one of the best compliments for me is when older people come to my courses. I'm talking about doctors that are 60, 70 years old, or even older. And they finish the course and they say, oh my God, I wish I did this course 10 years ago. But anyway, I feel like I can work for 10 more years. I was about to retire.
Yeah.
And after looking at all these opportunities, I want to work for one more decade. Right. And many of these doctors are coming back with their kids that are young dentists and saying, I want to do this together. Mm-hmm. You know, let's do this together. So it's super exciting.
Yeah, I love it. I love it. We're going to talk about that path and that journey in just a second. I want to cover number five, though. You have a fifth bottleneck in this process. What is it?
Is that the complementation of systems is discipline for routine. So that is for me the fifth bottleneck, is that having the strength, the resilience, you know, of sticking with your plan and telling yourself, if this is the best way to do this, I will not let the old way win. Mm-hmm. I'm going to stick to my plan and I'm going to insist until this becomes so natural for me and my team that it's going to become a routine, because only when something becomes a routine is that we become good and we make money out of it.
Yeah. Now go back to that, because this is what's going to happen. The old way is going to constantly creep in. And if you find yourself saying the seven most expensive words in business, which are, that's the way we've always done it, that's kind of like a trigger. Because when you chart a new path, tell us about that. When you chart a new path, it's not easy. Like you'll find.
No.
Okay.
No. It's what we call the gray zone, right? Every time we are somewhere and we decide that we want to be somewhere else, in between this where and the new where, we have the gray zone. Is the transition, is the transformation. And the gray zone is not a good feeling. The gray zone is uncomfortable. The gray zone is, gray zones are giving us constantly the sensation of waste of time, energy, and money. That's the gray zone. You know, when you make a decision, you're like, I do this like this, and I have a clear vision that is better to do like that, you know? And then, you know, you say, I'm going to start going to the gym every morning. It's obvious. It's better. I can see the benefits. I want to do that. So I'm here, not going to the gym, and I see myself going to the gym every day. And then you have that transition phase. Before it becomes a routine, that is the gray zone, and you're suffering every day, and you're like struggling.
It's lonely in the gray zone, isn't it?
Oh, man, and you're paying for the gym, and you're not going every day, and you have the sensation, waste of time, waste of money. Your brain is trying to find an excuse to sabotage you and pulling you away from your vision. Mm-hmm. Because every time you go back to your vision, you're like, damn, it's obvious. I need to stick with the plan.
Yeah,
our brain is amazing, and it can work against us and move us away from that plan. So usually, you know, to overcome the gray, and this is where 99.9% of the dentists are with digital dentistry. They're all in the gray zone.
Explain that more. So what do you mean by that?
They're not there yet. They didn't create complete systems. They didn't have complete routines, you know. They bought some stuff. They don't know exactly how to use it. They're learning bits and pieces. They say, I'm a digital dentist, Christian. I bought a scanner. And I say, unfortunately not. You just have a scanner. Mm. A digital dentist is the one that overcame the gray zone and has systems and processes in place. And these systems and processes are so embedded in their brains and the team brains that it became a routine.
Yeah.
So when your assistant comes in and says, doctor, should I do an alginate or should I scan this patient? This is the demonstration that you're still in the gray zone.
Yeah.
Because you're still in the middle of the journey.
Go back to that because I really love this one, number five, because this is a challenge for me. Like when you talk about resiliency and the routine, do you have somebody that holds you accountable? Like, because you often can't talk to yourself and you got to talk to somebody like, hey, like I just told Laura this morning, I'm like, you have to make me do these things. And she's like, do you have somebody that holds you accountable?
That's a very good strategy. There are a couple of different strategies to make us stick with the routine that we know it's going to be best long-term for us. One of them is to be surrounded by a few people that are a pain in the neck with good intentions, right? With good intentions. Because most of the people want to be nice to you. Yeah. Some people are like you, and that's good for some things, but it's bad for the things that you don't like because they also don't like. So, for example, my wife is the best person to keep me accountable because if I tell her I'm going to do this and I give up the next day because that's the way I am, and she's like, what did you say? Mm-hmm. With looking at me with that face, almost saying with her eyes, you are such a loser, you know? Because she is super disciplined. And when she says she's going to do something, she does it. Yeah. And she sticks with the plan. And she achieves amazing things because of that. So you're completely right. You know, you need to balance the people around you. You need some people to reinforce the great things you have. You need some people to balance the weak things that you have. And in my case, you know, I have people around me in the company that, including my wife, that are very, very disciplined and very efficient on what they promise to themselves. And this helps me to stick with the plan.
Yeah, and let me ask you about that, because the thing that you learn by sticking to the plan is we get things done. Like Christian made a promise, and now you have this collective trust. I had this problem years ago where I'm like, oh, a new idea all the time. Well, people didn't know what to expect. And so their collective trust drops. You know, they're like, oh, here he comes with a new idea. When you get things to completion, you have a lot of people. Like, it's important for them to see, hey, we made a promise to ourselves and we did it, right? And you can see their trust, their confidence goes up over time, right?
Mm-hmm. Momentum. You know, momentum is powerful. Momentum is beautiful. And momentum is... For me, the best way to explain momentum is the end part of the gray zone. Is when you see the light at the end of the tunnel.
Yeah.
When everybody on the team starts to see, damn it, we are getting there. You know, it's really improving. We are really different. Most of the people are not doing what we are doing. We started, you know, 6 months ago. Now it's a reality. So creating momentum by sticking with the plan. And again, I'm saying all these things as if I have these things under control, and I don't. I'm actually saying to myself every single day, you know, because I'm changing many times too much. And I every time I stick with the plan, I see how amazing and how powerful it is, you know, because everybody, you know, everybody that works with you is not necessarily seeing what you're seeing and not necessarily like you. If you like to change and new things and you are a visionary or you're an entrepreneur or, you know, you're all over. And I realized that people just want to move towards whatever you told them yesterday. And once you get everybody moving to the same direction, enjoy that flow, you know?
Absolutely. Now, I want you to talk about your success formula and how it works in DSD courses. But do you have a few more minutes? Because I know we only get you for so much time. I have so many questions. You're privy to a lot of insider conversations, and it's anyone's guess. What's the future look like? Just like, I want you, like, tell us what you think the next couple years are going to look like for dentists. As we both know, it's anyone's guess.
Of course. Corporate will continue to take over. Dentists will not leave dental school to own clinics, but to work in clinics. Dental offices will become more and more comprehensive at the higher top, meaning you go to one place to have a comprehensive diagnosis, comprehensive approach. It's like a mini hospital, you know, for the oral facial environment. Technologies will finally become a routine, and if you're not on that direction, you'll be behind.
Right.
Decision making will be the key.
Tell me more. What do you mean by that?
Historically, dentists have been making decisions by themselves. You look at an X-ray against the light, and you say, "Oh, we need to extract that tooth." And then you go there and you extract the damn tooth, right? When today, in a very simple move, you can share that on the cloud, and in 5 minutes, you can have 10 different feedbacks. Easy, for free.
Right?
I'm not even talking about artificial intelligence that will also kick in strongly on some of these most simple decisions. But I'm talking about also complex decisions that computers are far away from getting there. And those more complex decisions can be easily improved by simple communication systems, real-time systems.
Yeah.
So I strongly believe on systems that can help dentists make better decisions. Because executing dentistry is tough. It's very hard to be a very good clinician. Very hard. But it's even harder to make the right calls.
Yeah.
Diagnosis and planning. So make the right decisions. Build the right plan is more difficult than executing the plan.
Yeah.
So we have many more great clinicians out there than we have great planners, great decision makers. So it's very hard to make good decisions. And I believe that smart companies will invest on helping dentists make better decisions. So every time a company comes with a new technology, a new software, say, how can this technology help me make a better decision?
Yeah.
And they're like, no, this will help you execute like this. And then the surgery and the restoration and this and the treatment and the aligner. And I say, all these things are done after the decisions are made.
Yeah.
So my question to you is, how can your company help me, a dentist in a little office in the countryside somewhere, how can your company help me make a better decision for my patient?
Love it. Love it. Love it. I have so many other topics I want to cover on different shows, but Christian, any last thoughts you have on the bottlenecks that you've learned in analyzing the people that you've coached through DSD? Any last thoughts?
Yeah, this is the conclusion, not the conclusion, but these topics that we discussed that I deep dived in during the pandemic, that I was able to really build all these conclusions and summaries and research about what I did on the last decade is reflected into our course today. You know, our course is like a summary of 10 years of consulting. That was my main job, consulting for dental office owners, consulting for companies. You know, I'm very proud to be, you know, hired today by top companies to interact with their R&D, to brainstorm about the new trends, you know, to help them see the future. And all these conclusions are brought into our course today, that is the DSD residency. And in this course, we try to give some tools for people to understand these bottlenecks and what are the strategies to overcome these bottlenecks. You know, what are the partners that you need to bring on board? What are the team members that you need to have around you to build your dream team, you know, to really make a difference in people's lives, you know, to achieve meaningful dentistry.
Yeah. Now take us through this. So if I want to get involved in DSD residency, how does it work? You have these, you know, I don't have to come to Madrid, right? Or you can,
no,
but you have you them can. In different locations. Okay. Take us
so
through
the
that.
The DSD residency is a course made of nine classes of 2 hours and a half. These nine classes were traditionally given in 3 in-person days. Okay? 3 days, 3 classes per day, 9 classes. That is the residency program. And we cover this whole journey of differentiation and implementation of these new trends from digital dentistry and emotional dentistry, achieving more meaningful dentistry. 9 classes. With the pandemic, we had to reinvent ourselves and bring this course online. And today we have it online as well. And it's 9 weeks. So 9 classes of 2 hours and a half, the exact same program, the exact same classes, also live online, is also live. But usually, you know, every Monday at a certain time, people register and they for 9 weeks, they're going to have these 9 classes. So it's the same program. The in-person course happens twice a year in Madrid, once a year in Miami, once a year in Las Vegas, and then in 3 or 4 different places in the world that we change every year. So this year we are doing it in also in Casablanca. We are doing it in Shanghai. We are doing it in Tokyo, and we are doing it in Sydney.
Wow. Okay? All right.
So this is the in-person. So usually 8 per year in US, Miami, and Vegas.
That's fantastic.
The in the online, you just register online, and we have people from all over the world doing the course online.
Yeah. We have several of our coaching clients doing it, and they love it. They absolutely love it. So Christian, if I'm listening and I've never heard of it, how do I find it? Tell us how to get to your website. What do we do?
DigitalSmileDesign.com. DigitalSmileDesign.com, and you click on attend a course. DSD residency.
Awesome. So our post-production people will put those in the show notes. So if you guys are listening on Stitcher, Spotify, whatever you're listening to, iTunes, you can flip up to the notes and we'll put a link in there. It'll take you directly to that and you can check out Christian's stuff. I'll tell you, if you've never had Christian Coachman speak at your meeting, what are you thinking? Like, you got to get him to speak, you know? So
I need to hire you. You need to hire me to promote you, and I need to hire you to promote me.
No. If I go to any meeting that you attend, it's usually really well attended. Like that, I can't remember where we were the one, but you were like, I think it was a Florida Academy of Cosmetic Dentistry. Yeah. I show up and the room was full, and I'm like, oh, I'm so excited. And they're like, they're not really here for you. Coachman's speaking tomorrow. I was like, oh, okay. So you know, it works out well for me if I can just like show up at a bar or a meeting with you. So it's good stuff.
Yeah, you came up right after. People were there also for you.
That's all great. Christian, thanks for being on today, buddy. I really appreciate it. And stick around while we say goodbye to everybody else. But thank you guys for listening to the Best Practices Show. If you enjoyed today, do us a favor. Just hit the share button, share with your friends. Keep sending us suggestions for things that you guys want to see from Christian and everybody. I'm going to have Christian back and we'll cover other topics along the way. And just let me know what you want to hear from him. I'll ask him the great, tough questions and we'll get him to answer them. And until we see you guys next time, keep watching the Best Practices Show. You guys enjoy your day. There you have it. Thanks for tuning in to this episode of the Best Practices Show. I hope you sure did enjoy it. If you have any questions, feel free to reach out to us. We are always here for you. And if you haven't done so already, make sure you subscribe to the show on iTunes or wherever you consume podcasts. And if you really enjoy it, you can leave a comment or a 4 or 5 star review. But until we see you next time, keep watching the Best Practices Show.